Welcome back to Beyond the Paddock. I'm your host, Sarah, and on today's episode, we will be talking about season 7 of Drive to Survive. So Friday night, season 7 came out on Netflix. We binge watched all 10 episodes, and we've made some key points per episode for you. So disclaimer, we are going to be spoiling the season for you. So if you have not watched, you might not want to listen. Firstly, we'd like to say the season was disappointing. Came off very soap opera-ish, very edited, very fake, and really only focused on four teams, McLaren, Mercedes, Ferrari, and Red Bull. There was a lot of drivers we didn't see, and we kind of felt that we wished we saw a little bit from every team. First 5 minutes, we see a sullen Lando Norris. They made him look very childish. We see everyone against Max Verstappen, everyone against Red Bull, and Liam Lawson and Christian Horner were the most unlikable characters, along with George Russell. So let's get started. Season 1, business as usual. Started with Lewis joining Ferrari before the season even started. Still 24 races to go. Hasn't even driven the new car. We see Toto being very upset by the news. Carlos Sainz was not prepared for the news. Key point we'd like to mention, he was the only non-Red Bull driver to win a race in 2023. So blindsided, but as he said, when a 7-time world champion wants your seat, he's going to get it. They looked at how 13 drivers on the grid would not have a contract going into 2025 and then jumped right into the Christian Horner allegations. The allegations being inappropriate behavior towards a female coworker. He came off as so scuzzy. There's no words for him. The other team principals were asked and refused to comment. Zac Brown was the only one who stepped up and answered. Horner came off as very whiny, wanted to be saved during uncomfortable questions. He said he couldn't get any peace away from this, that, you know, people kept bugging him about it. Boo-hoo. And kept being asked the hard question why he was not asked to step aside during the independent investigation. The independent investigation came back to conclude that the allegations had been dismissed. And literally 2 days later, an anonymous email was sent to every team principal and members of the press, leaking the text messages between him and said female coworker. His wife then started to appear with him to the racetrack, Jerry, just as scuzzy. And we have Verstappen's father speaking out against Horner, wanted him gone, wanted a more quiet work environment, didn't think he brought that and wanted him to step aside. And at the end, we were kind of disgusted with how Netflix dealt with this. There was like Horner, there was a little quotation at the end that said Horner dismissal was appealed and the appeal was not upheld. So basically swept under the rug, even though the proof of the text messages were released. Then the episode focused on Carlo motivated to do well because he needed a contract. They looked at how he was faster than Charles. And then basically focused on how by race 2, he had to have emergency appendix removal, and race 3, 16 days since his emergency surgery, he came back to win the race, and really how motivated and how good he was looking in the season. Episode 2, Frenemies. So straight away, we have Max's FU strategy, and then they have Lando looking absolutely ridiculous, silly old videos of him playing with puppies, basically saying that Max is ruthless, Lando's not. Talked about how the start of the season was disappointing for Lando, how people were questioning his talent, bringing up Lando no wins, how he gets into his own head. Then George came off very unlikable in this episode. We had Horner trying to get into Lando's head by saying he didn't have the mental strength to be there, go up against Max. And we have Lando responding with, people have their opinions, but in his opinion, he has what it would take to win, and he was going to do it his way, not how people thought he should be winning, his way. Then we focused, the focus here was Miami. We saw the safety car come out because of Sergeant versus Kevin. And then it was nice to see how genuinely liked Lando is. After his win, everyone was happy for him. Everyone, team principals, other drivers, everyone congratulating him. and then talked about how his confidence grew with the win and how his hunger to win was back, had come back. Then there was Horner just making like comments where you just want to like punch him in the face. Like, you know, I think he wants to play with the big boys. He just gives up such a bad ick. They tried to say Max wasn't happy for Lando after his Miami win and then edited to put in cuts of Max looking upset, but he's obviously at another race because he was wearing the wrong race hat. They talked about Austria, like how Max was dangerous, how a Norris was forced out of the race due to contact. This part was hilarious because what we saw on the television was Lando speaking to this incident and Max separately. And the behind the scenes was amazing. They were literally shoulder to shoulder talking crap about each other. Amazing. Then the whole like thing about their bromance being threatened. And then they talked about Netherlands, how the Dutch Grand Prix was brought back onto the calendar because of Max. And he's the only one who's won it since it's come back. How Lando won pole and how he got 22 seconds ahead of Max to win the race. And then responded with simply lovely, huh? They just like to create drama between the two. Episode 3, looking out for number 1, talking about how Toto was blindsided by Hamilton's departure and basically who is going to replace Hamilton. They focused on, can George lead the team and does he make too many mistakes? Now here we have our own opinions here. We do not think George has what it takes to lead Mercedes this season. He does make too many mistakes. He finished 6th in the World Drivers' Championship last year and was not a contender. There was a really uncomfortable part in the episode where Hamilton and Sainz were side by side on the couch and Hamilton reaches over and whispers to Sainz, like, have you spoken to Toto yet? And Sainz is like, he never called me, so I'm assuming they don't want me. And this is, we think, will be, this will not age well for Mercedes, and this will be Mercedes' biggest flaw. Kimi is not ready. George cannot lead. They should have signed Sainz as their number one driver. George will not be strong enough. He cannot handle the pressure on and off the track. We don't think he's going to get the job done. But Toto has compared Kimi to Max, Schumacher, and Senna, which we think is a risky, risky comment. Episode 4, Carlos Sainz. At the start of the season, Carlos was the strongest driver behind Max. The question is, why did Red Bull or Mercedes not sign him? We again think these are big mistakes on their behalf. It talked about how Williams and Stake both wanted him. The question is, should he go to Williams now or Stake? Because Stake will eventually become Audi in 2026 and will be a bigger team player. We then see Flavio entering the scene with Alpine. He called Carlos, which caused him to not sign with Williams. But ultimately, Carlos goes to Williams and Doan signs with Flavio. And there was a lot of warnings how Flavio will screw you over. Episode 5, Le Curse of Leclerc. This was a really nice episode. Starts off with Charles talking about his dad, how he had to lie to his dad on his deathbed so his dad could see his dream of his son being an F1 driver come about, how he carries guilt about this. We see Fred protecting Charles and really managing his mindset and managing his surrounding to protect him and playing a father role. And then it talks about the curse of Monaco with Charles and how every year there seems to be issue after issue after issue. And we know with Monaco street race, it comes down to the start in turn one. If you're not leading in turn one, you're not winning. So the race starts, he's leading at turn one, and then Sergio Perez has his accident. They have to restart the race. He's leading at turn one again. He does 77 laps on tires, is able to manage his tires, manage his pace, even though he had to slow down. And then with the last eight laps to go, just thinking of his past, thinking of his dad, wanting to win for his dad. He wanted to realize this dream for his father and said it was hard to race through tears. And just a really nice episode. Okay, which leads us into episode 6, Wheels of Fortune. We are still very bitter about this from last season. We realize we have a lot to say here, and this is going to be our longest recap of an episode. So this entire episode focused on McLaren making a lot of mistakes in the 2024 season and how they have to be smarter. how they threw away potential wins and points by screwing with their stupid strategy in Canada, Silverstone, Budapest, just to start off with. How in Budapest, McLaren created a situation they did not need to create. They pitted their drivers in the wrong order. We saw Lando pitting before Piastri, which brought him out ahead of Piastri, who was leading the race. And then the episode focused on how Piastri could not catch up. He was not in the World Driver Championship fight, how Lando should have been prioritized. And in that race, he ultimately was the faster car on track. He got 7 full seconds ahead of Oscar, who couldn't catch up. He literally had to come to a dead stop on track to let him pass after he was gaslit into swapping positions. Oscar was on the quicker tires and still couldn't manage his race pace tires or catch up. And like, if they were a second or two between each other, then fine, swap positions. But Lando got himself 7 whole seconds ahead. And really, the episode really focused on how this was an underwhelming win because it was not a real win for Piastri. Then went into how McLaren needs to be clear and basically talked about their stupid papaya rules. So it's really noble to say you have 2 number one drivers, but that's BS. It didn't work and it won't work. And the episode, we agree with it, says it comes to a point where McLaren needs to make a decision. Norris is your 2025 world driver contender and needs to be so supported as such. And we really think that Piastri might be getting some bad advice. His manager is Weber, who is your notorious number 2 driver, was his whole entire career at Red Bull, and maybe trying to live vicariously a bit through Piastri, but it did not help Piastri here. Like, bad advice was given, we feel, from his manager. And ultimately, this episode destroyed Zach and destroyed Piastri. So team principal doesn't appear to have Lando's back throughout most of the season. But then it went right into Monza and how McLaren could have taken the constructors' lead. But then Piastri proved to be a poor teammate and cost the team the 1-2, cost the team important points, and cost the team a win. And all because McLaren didn't make it clear. And basically, it showed that and said that Oscar was not at the same level as Lando. And Piastri proved that he couldn't manage his tires, he couldn't manage pace race, and just wasn't fast enough and cost the team. And we would like to interject here a little bit because we've seen a lot of conversation regarding this race in particular and how, you know, Oscar was able to win his first race win faster than Lando. And this is where we would like to point out that, you know, that's not comparable. The timeline's not comparable because when Lando started with McLaren, he was driving a shopping cart. Like, his car was literally a tractor. And he, through years and years and years, has brought McLaren to where they are. And when Piastri joined with McLaren, he joined to a rocket ship. So had Lando started with McLaren in a rocket ship, he would have had his first race win a lot sooner as well. So that is not comparable. Their cars were not comparable. It's easy to join a team with a rocket ship and do well. So that people need to use a little bit of common sense there. And then, so the episode then went on to destroy Zach, saying he should never allowed Piastri to do what he did, especially after Lando had to give him his win. And then went on to talk about how you can't have your drivers racing each other. And then Lando spoke about how he was blindsided in Monza by his own teammate, and he was not expecting that to happen. And had he expected it, it never would have happened. And then enter Baku, where Brown no-showed the race because it was following Monza. So he really looked like a big chicken here. He should have been there. He let his team principal give orders and give the message to Piastri that they were prioritizing Norris, and that Piastri had to be a better teammate to maximize the team results. And then it went right into the race. And we saw McLaren. They took too long to get Norris out on track in Q1. And then an unfortunate yellow flag happened. So we saw Norris taking a Q1 exit. Norris was in 16th. He did start on the grid on 15th. And Piastri was started in second. So the episode then continued to watch how Piastri couldn't maintain pace. Perez was gaining on him while Piastri continued to struggle. And again, Norris had to come up and he came out ahead of the pit. Perez came out of, Norris was ahead of Perez when Perez came out of the pits. So Norris was then asked to sacrifice his own race to hold up Perez so Piastri could pit and then come out ahead of Perez. And due to this amazing teamwork, that's exactly what happened. And Oscar was able to take the win thanks to his teammate. And it was then noted that, like, the team principal even said that, like, Oscar owed his win to Lando. And Lando had a hell of a race, moving from 16th to 4th, passing Max. So this episode really, like, exposed Piastri and exposed the stupid papaya rules. And we're just still a little bitter about the stupid papaya rules. Okay, right into episode 7, In the Heat of the Night. This was Singapore. We love the start of the episode. It focused on the 5 drivers, Alex, George, Lando, Charles, and Pierre, who were given cameras to film behind the scenes of the weekend. We love the footage that they showed us. And we really, really, really love Alex. So Netflix, if you're listening, please put in more of Alex for next season. This guy's hilarious. Some things that we learned was Lando is super shy and hates cameras. Alex is a genuine guy who basically was like, Lando's under immense pressure. Please give him some space. And Alex is super, super funny. We did not love Netflix. We're very disappointed in you. George Russell had a panic attack after the race due to dehydration and the heat, and they literally filmed it and put it in the episode. It was awful. Like, these drivers deserve some respect and privacy. And basically this is, we talked about this in a previous episode with the heat issue and the new rule changes with the cooling system. And they did not talk about Daniel. We're very upset about that. Episode 8, Albo's out. So again, our first note that we made here, how Jerry Howell Horner is so annoying. We find her super annoying. This is where we talk about Daniel in this episode, a very sad episode. It basically looked at the V-carb seat. We see Daniel out and Liam in. We do not like Liam. It talked about how Daniel's biggest mistake was leaving Red Bull. He should have stayed at Red Bull. And then it started to talk about the Red Bull seat for next season with Perez, and then really talked about how problematic Lawson was. It talked about how he blocked a senior teammate and flipped him off in Mexico, and it was because he wanted his job. And then there was a quote that we both noted, so we're going to mention here, that it was basically talking about how a stand-in ended the career of 2 massively respected veteran drivers. And we just agree that, like, Liam's not out to make friends. He doesn't want to make friends. And it's going to be interesting to see how he drives with Max this season. So right into episode 9, Under New Management. So the focus of this episode was the P6 competition. Who was going to take P6 and the constructors, because there's 10 million on the line. So we looked at, in order of the 10 teams in their ranking, how much they got out of constructors. So McLaren, 161 million, Ferrari, 151 million, Red Bull, 140 million, Mercedes, 130 million, Aston Martin, 120 million, Alpine, 109 million, Haas, 100 million, V-carb, 90 million, Williams, 79 million, and Stake, 69 million. So basically, it looked at Alpine and Haas and who was going to end up in 6 and get that extra $10 million. We have Flavio referring to Ocon as a spoiled brat, as he kept saying that Ocon didn't like the car, but what was there to like about the car, Flavio? Ocon thought it underperformed, and he was right. It focused on Ocon's move to Haas, and we did see a couple of Haas employees questioning whether or not Ocon was going to be a good fit. It showed how the signing of Doan by Alpine And then in Brazil, we saw how Behrman was in for Kevin, who had food poisoning, and there was heavy rain. And it really focused on how fearful Behrman was in these conditions. Now, it was a horrific race. We will give you that. But he went off track spinning twice and got called out for it. I think that Ollie might be a bit of a struggle bus this season. And then it showed Flavio firing Ocon on the last for the last race of the season and putting in Doan, who placed 15th. And the last episode, Endgame. George, he's always just so passive aggressive, always trying to play head games. We just don't like him. So we see how Red Bull lost grip of the Constructors' Championship. We see the interview where Lando waits to congratulate Max, and Max tells him he's going to win one day. And then there was the two most heart-wrenching moments besides Daniel of the season. It was Carlos' departure, the video departure, where he watched the video and from Ferrari, just heart-wrenching, and Toto's goodbye speech to Lewis. So, and that's our recap. So, yeah, we're, I don't know, it's worth a watch, but it's very, very soap opera-y. And Netflix, please, please, we want more coverage of every team and every driver for next season, especially Alex. And so join us next week. So this week we're back. Australian Grand Prix. We're so excited for Media Day, for free practices, for qualifiers, for the race. So join us on Monday when we recap the Australian Grand Prix. Okay, bye guys.